Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, Sales Success Coach. Now, they call me the Queen of Predictable Sales Results, well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client-getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to see past the limiting beliefs that people hold for themselves and instead see the soul essence of who they truly are with no limits. So I'm super excited to introduce Dane Wright. And one of the powerful questions that Dane loves to ask is, what if you could finally find your dream job? What would it be like for you to do work that lights you up, makes you feel fulfilled, and pays you what you want? Well, today I'm going to be speaking with Dane Wright, the founder of the Design Your Dream Job Bootcamp, which is a five-day live experience that can help you find your purpose, uncover your passion, and make bank doing what you love. Now, Dane is committed to making it easy for people to discover who they are and what they truly want so they can live that ultimate life of fulfillment and joy. Well, welcome, Dane. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Hey, Wendy, so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Dane, I just love how you're helping people break out of the mundane and really connect with their life purpose. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Yeah, Wendy, you know, when I first started getting into this work after transferring over after my engineering career, if you can believe that, I just was so stoked and so lit up. So I'm excited to share more as we go on.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I think you gave us a little glimpse here. What exactly was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice out of your career path as an engineer?
Yeah, well, it all started actually right when I graduated from college. I graduated from UC Irvine over here in California. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do right after college. I had an engineering degree, but I decided, you know, to take everybody's advice. I had all these older people in my life saying, travel when you're young. And so I decided to set out on a long adventure. It turned out to be 6 months travel through Europe.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a pretty wild trip. And actually the inspiration of starting to do the work I'm doing now happened on my first train ride when I was going from Portugal over to Spain. I was on a train to Madrid and I had brought one book with me. It seemed like a really important book to bring with me on this soul searching adventure through Europe right after I graduated from college. And the book's name was How to Succeed in Life.
Wow.
And yeah, it seemed like a really...
That's a profound title. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And I don't remember where I got this book. I think it was just laying around my house or something like that. And I threw it in my backpack. And I thought to myself, you know, how to succeed in life, that seems like a pretty applicable thing to read as I'm going off into life.
Yes, indeed.
And so to be honest, I thought that this book was really going to be focused on business and money and, you know, financial success and career. Because that was what my definition of success was kind of a societal view of success. And as I opened the book, I realized that this was something much, much more than that. And this book, you know, just reading through the topics was talking about, you know, how to create a great love relationship, how to work on personal finance, how to maintain your fitness, both intellectually mentally, emotionally, physically, all these different healths. It took a whole new approach to what it meant to be successful in life and gave some really great insights into all the different facets of how to develop great relationships and all the things that one might not think of immediately when you think of success traditionally.
Right. And you don't necessarily learn that stuff in college.
Exactly, Wendy. Yeah. So to be honest, as I was reading this book on this train to Madrid, I was just reading page after page, just turning it. It was like I had found the secrets to how to actually have a successful life. And I thought to myself, man, they were so many required reading lists as I went through my 20 years of education.
Right.
And not one of those lists was this book of how to succeed in life, nor anything like it.
Well, you mean The Grapes of Wrath wasn't up there on that category?
No, although it was exciting. The Grapes of Wrath did not necessarily teach us how to succeed in life.
Right. Yeah. No, you make a very valid point.
Right. So I started learning how to live like a successful, holistic life. I started reading all these concepts and all this information. It was, looking back, it was such basic stuff, but it was so foreign to me.
Right, you know, it blew your mind.
It blew my mind. You know, I had a love relationship at college, and I had other relationships that I wasn't happy with how they were going, and my health wasn't like at the best, and I just didn't really have a good system around that, and my productivity could have been better, and just all the stuff that it was talking about, I realized, I'm like, man, I really could have used this earlier. When at first I actually became a bit, I'll be honest, I became a bit resentful toward the education system. Like I know a lot of my peers sometimes are. And I was super frustrated. And after I'd gotten back from my trip from Europe, I remember sitting with my dad out on our deck overlooking this beautiful sunset, but being so deep in this just like resentment. I was like, God, they don't teach you this and they don't teach you that. And by this time I had learned so much about personal development and all kinds of stuff like that. And my dad, I think he was like, well, Dane, what are you going to do about it?
That's great. That is great. I love that. And let's stop complaining and let's do something about it.
Right. And all of a sudden it occurred to me of like, oh crap. Now I got to do something about this.
He just passed the ball back to you.
Right. And so that was really the tipping point there of when I was like, okay, I need to do something about this problem of, you know, we learn so much about professional success, like traditional success, but a lot of times we don't necessarily learn how to lead a truly successful, fulfilled whole life.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love that. That is fantastic. That definitely is a tipping point. You had your degree in hand and took the wise words of advice to go see the world, and then boom, you had this serendipitous book in your hand that shifted everything for you. Yeah, I love that. Well, Dane, how long have you had your own coaching practice, and has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
Oh yeah, Wendy, it certainly has. The first organization that I created was something called Wisdom Collective. And what Wisdom Collective was it was a mentorship program. And it was really designed around connecting the alumni of my high school with young people at my former high school, Laguna Beach High School. And when I set out on that mission, that was, let's see, 4 years ago now, four or five years ago. I forget the exact date that I set out on that mission. But 4 or 5 years ago, I just thought, how can I start making an impact now? And at first I was just, okay, I'm going to go start mentoring these kids at the high school. I'm like, man, I wish I knew all this stuff when I was in high school. Why don't I just go teach these guys? Why don't I go teach the next generation who are, you know, now 10 years behind me, but probably not learning the things that I was wanting to teach. So I went back to my high school, and that's really where it all started, was connecting with the advisors at my high school and connecting with old friends who also shared the same beliefs I did of wishing they had, you know, learned so many other things as they went through college and through high school. And we really just went back and started mentoring a small group of high school students. And that was where I first started practicing coaching and mentorship.
Nice. Yeah. So from there, then have you stayed with that same ideal client, or has your focus shifted off of that high school mentorship and coaching aspect to something a little different?
Yes. It's a great question, Wendy. And the answer is yes, it has shifted. When I first set out, I figured, I want to teach people as young as I possibly can these amazing life lessons that I wish I had known.
Right.
And as I set out to do that, working with high school students was amazing. And there are certainly a solid group of high school students who are ready for, learning about how to lead a good life and how to maintain your health and how to be more productive and, these like key principles. But what I noticed is that it was people in like their 20s, a bit older, were more ready to listen. And what I noticed is that I was trying to be proactive rather than helping people after they had already had the challenge up front, right? And so I was kind of going against human nature because a lot of times, I'm like, oh, we have to prevent this from happening. We have to teach all these amazing lessons before the problems happen. Now, the challenge that I learned with people is that a lot of times people, we just don't listen until we have a real challenge right in front of us. We're more reactive than proactive. So that's where my attention actually shifted to a more older bunch, still young for maybe a lot of listeners, but to people in their 20s. So moving away from high school students and more people who are in college and in their early and mid 20s.
That makes perfect sense. There's a saying out there that when the pupil is ready, the teacher appears. So I think that's what you were alluding to. You can't really teach somebody if they're not ready. So, yeah, that's
Yes.
great that you were able to be agile and understand that what you're doing is still valid and needed, but maybe it's a little bit more something that will be received by people that are further along in their life journey. So, yeah, that's great. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Darn, I keep hoping that I'm going to find someone
Oh.
that's had just smooth sailing. Not Wendy, it's just been easy peasy.
Well, if there's other entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs listening, yes. I don't know if any entrepreneur's path is smooth. So,
Nope, so
yeah,
far I have not found anybody, so
no, but it's at the end of the day, it's what makes the whole thing so amazing at the end. It's like the grit and the challenges really do make it what it's worth. For me, just getting started, it's wild. I remember one of the first challenges I ran into was standing there with this engineering degree and having worked in engineering and designing medical devices and working in environmental engineering as well. And, I was an engineer. I had assumed the identity of engineer. And so had my community and my family, and everybody knew me as an engineer. And I'd spent 5 years in school and 2 or 3 years, working professionally. And I was an engineer. And I think that one of the biggest challenges at first was making this bridge to becoming a career changer. And going from this thing that I knew and was safe and my career was all set up for me, and I had a great job at a med device company and designing super novel medical devices, but then having this constant feeling that this was not the path. And even though this path was so safe and successful, like so like potentially like long-term success, like the first problem was I needed to quit that job, and I needed to go out on my own. And that was one of the biggest challenges, was mustering up the courage to say, this has been good, but this is not great. This is not my true life path. And although I see that I could be successful and I'm making great money, like I need to do something different. And so that was one of the biggest challenges, was just getting very authentic and real with like what I really wanted. And even despite the fear of, am I going to be okay? Like, am I going to make enough money? Like, how's this all going to work? I really didn't have any of the answers. And I remember my boss, when I told him and apologized, I'm like, I haven't been bringing my best to work, and it's because this is not my calling and I need to quit. And I remember my boss asking me, what do you have planned next? And I was like, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
But I told him, I was like, but I know I'm going to figure it out.
Okay.
And so I had this confidence, but I was also absolutely terrified at the same time.
Right. I love that. That is that moment when you just stand into your strength, even if you don't know quite what that strength is. But it was a calling that you had within. Well, what did you do to overcome that sense of I'm no longer who I thought I was, and learning to step into a new identity is kind of what I'm hearing as one of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome, is just leaving behind what you thought was who you were and stepping into this new version, the almost like the chrysalis, is that how you pronounce it?
The chrysalis?
Yeah, chrysalis.
Yeah.
Suddenly becoming this new entity. So can you share with us just maybe a technique that you utilize to gain clarity around this new version of your career path?
Yes, definitely. You know, and that's something that I did for myself, but I didn't really realize what exactly I was doing. But when I started that mentorship program, it was like this project. It was like this community project where I was sharing with people, you know, what I was doing, and I was enrolling people in the project itself, old friends and talking to all kinds of people. And I think one of the biggest things to do is to just share with people your new discovery of what you really want and how you want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty powerful, but people love to put you into boxes. You know, it's like our brains are constantly trying to simplify information. And so we do this with people. And a lot of times we get known in our communities for who we are or who the community thinks we are, right? And as we evolve, and as we might become, you know, go into the chrysalis and evolve into a butterfly or, you know, whatever's next, sometimes we gotta communicate that. And that was one thing that I really tried to do a lot of is just communicating and sharing with people, you know, about this project and about what was really lighting me up. And a lot of people are like, wait, so you're just throwing away your engineering career? And I was like,
that's their attempt to keep you safe.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. And the community and my, you know, parents and acquaintances and a lot of people really wanted me to keep me safe. And they were like, Dane, what are you thinking? What the hell are you thinking? Right.
You are about to say something else, Dane. Dane, that's really stupid. I heard you.
Yeah, that's really stupid. Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you just went to school, you spent all this money on your education. Like, you should go down that safe, regular path, you know? And so my parents, you know, like, I know my mom and dad, even though they didn't say it too much, but I know that they were totally worried about me. And you know, you pick up on that as a kid. You pick up on your parents' fears for you. And, you know, they only want the best for you. And so, you know, both my parents were more career-driven rather than entrepreneurial. And so it was just a new thing for them. And they're like, wait, so you're going to just start your own thing and you're not just going to get a job and start getting a paycheck? And I'm like, nope. And so, you know, I think that they did worry. And acquaintances as well and friends, you know, would joke. And, you know, friends have a funny way, you know, especially like guy friends sometimes would have a funny way of sharing their love for you, right? Is like when you're starting on a new journey, they might tell you, oh, that's stupid. Like, why would you ever do that? You shouldn't do that.
Kind of the opposite of how I introduced you and your superpower, right? They were not seeing you as beyond your limiting factors.
No, not at all.
In fact, creating more limitations for you. So
totally. Yes. And that was really frustrating.
That happens, definitely. It's pretty common. It's just seems to be, unfortunately, human nature. I don't know how far that goes back. I know that it starts early on and it starts generations before. So again, the main focus is to just try to keep everybody, you know, that they love safe. But
yes,
you know, you've stepped beyond that and you've landed firmly in this expertise. You've actually walked your talk. And now you're helping others, you know, you're truly obviously an expert at helping others align their skills and passions with careers that bring them fulfillment and success. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious here, Dane, gonna put you on the spot. How do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is obviously a very different skill set than your zone of genius, but do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Yes, Wendy, I certainly do. You know, I love coaching people. I love having conversations with people. I love doing the work that I first set out to do.
Right.
And what I soon realized as a budding life coach, you know, years ago, is that people don't just show up and knock on your door requesting to pay you for coaching.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Remember that journey you were talking about, Dane?
Yeah, exactly. And so I learned this. I was like, okay. And even when you offer help sometimes for free, it's still challenging to get people to, sign up. Like my first high school students, you know, like I had to give a few talks and then people started signing up. But I was like, wow, like even when you give away coaching for free, sometimes it still takes an enrollment process. And so, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I had there, Wendy, it really was about sales. Like what my beliefs about sales and my beliefs about, and my beliefs, but like also like the history that I had. Actually, I love her to death, but with my mom. My mom was a saleswoman. She was really good at what she did, and she loved to sell. And growing up, I think her sales sometimes bled off, still does, but sometimes bled off into trying to sell me on having something for dinner, or trying to sell me on what to do, or you know where to go. I had a bad interpretation with sales. Right. I mean, the mother-child relationship is so strong, and it was such a direct relationship to sales where I felt like, you know, pressured or like kind of forced to do things sometimes. And I love my mom to death, for the record. And sometimes she could feel a little pushy sometimes. And so I really was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that for people. And that was really a big challenge for me, was trying to learn how to enroll people rather than tell them what to do or trying to sell them on something. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that is a very common, for one, mindset around selling and just unknown about how to inspire people versus feeling like you're pressuring or condensing, that kind of thing. So, well, would you like a little bit of coaching around that?
Of course.
Okay. Well, of course I side with your mother because I'm a mom. I actually felt that parenting was about 50% sales, but I did it in a little bit different mode what I found out early on in my career, because I was completely a fish out of water when it came to starting my business and stepping into that sales role. But what I found is that transactional selling is where you have something that you know the features of and the benefits of, and then you're showing it to somebody and you're trying to get them excited about it. And it's kind of like you were describing a little earlier when, gosh, I couldn't even give my coaching away. Well, it's kind of like that, in that brings up that where you just want to keep trying to get them excited, right? And that's never going to work because they enter into the enrollment conversation typically with some resistance, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they just have this carte blanche introduction, you know, a best friend says, hey, here, you need to talk to Dane. He's your guy. You know, but typically we don't have that lineup of people that have all been introduced by somebody that has an authority role and gives you a silver ticket or whatever the phrase might be. So typically the enrollment conversation starts at that state where your prospect is feeling some resistance, right? They're feeling some skepticism. They're feeling some unknowns. And to really capitalize on this overused word, they're feeling some uncertainties about what's in store for them. What are you going to, you know, be talking about, and how's this going to go, and how much is this going to cost me? And so they already have their guard built up. And what I like to help my clients understand is that it's really a matter of leadership. It's a matter of helping people through their prospect to client journey. And so they go from this state of resistance to this state of clarity, confidence, and ready to commit, because they see what's possible for them. Now, this is transformational selling. And so this is different than transactional selling, which is what I think, I'm guessing, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think your mother was excellent at.
Yes.
Transformational selling is what you're doing, and you are helping people get over limiting beliefs. You're helping people in your work, you're, because maybe they have a perceived role for themselves or some shoulds that they should be doing in their terms of their career or how they're feeling about money or what success is, all those things that you talked about early on when you were reading that powerful book, How to Succeed in Life, you know, these were elements that you kind of had preconceived notions about, right? And so you want to be the change for them. You want to be that inspiration, but they're not quite up to speed yet with you. And so what is really key, to sum this all up, is to meet them where they're at and understand what they really want in terms of how it aligns with the work that you do. And instead of talking a bigger picture that they can't even grasp, really meet them where they're at. And again, just align with what they see for themselves and what they can get excited about seeing for themselves, instead of maybe going to the full picture of what is totally possible, because that might create some lack of, you know, limiting beliefs right there could like fly up at the moment that you say, this is how I work with people. You know, they might already be back into that skepticism and resistance mode. So I could probably go on and on and on here, but hopefully that's provided a little bit of clarity for you just in terms of understanding and acknowledging where people are at when they start their conversation with you, and that you have to lead them through this transformation within your enrollment conversation, but it has to be completely aligned with what they feel their ideals are for themselves and their limiting, you know, or frustrations are with things that they're already experiencing.
That really definitely clears things up, Wendy.
Excellent.
It makes a lot of sense. And it's funny because I think sometimes it's like, I known that that's what you're supposed to do, but then it's so easy to just mimic what you've seen and been around so much, which is that transactional selling, rather than going back to asking them and like letting them say what they want rather than you telling them what they want.
Yeah, exactly. And you honestly, you know what's best for them, but just like your relationship and those situations with your mom, you know, it's like, well, you immediately felt some resistance. You know, I know she wants the best for me, but the way she's talking to me and her objectives are different than mine. They don't align. And so coming from a homeschool parent, I really learned how to inspire my kids versus convince them, because I had three boys. So the odds were against me. I'll put it that way.
Sounds like it.
But anyway, yeah, hopefully that helps a little bit. And Dane, you know, I'm curious here, speaking of adversities or situations that have created opportunities for a shift in paradigm or changing our outlook on things, we're right in the middle of this COVID pandemic. I hate to say that. I mean, I thought by now we would be well past it, face masks gone and on to life, but we're still in the middle of it. So I'm curious, given the impacts that this has had on people's careers, on their perception of themselves, how they're showing up in their lives, if they're aligned, has this had any impact on the work that you do?
Oh, certainly. Yes. Career coaching is a big part of what I do now. And this pandemic has completely shifted the whole landscape of careers. And it's wild. It's not like any recession we've had before. It's very different because while some industries are drying up, others are thriving. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real interesting thing to watch as this has started to shift. So it's been a huge transition for people. And I think that there's a lot of people out there who are being challenged, who have been in careers that just don't exist right now anymore. You know, anything in the hospitality industry, travel, or most things like restaurants, and so many things have really shut down. So many people-centric careers have shut down.
Right.
And so it's such a time of transition. And I think one of the biggest challenges that people have been facing is just really knowing how to pivot. It's almost like everybody's needing to embrace their inner entrepreneur right now, because with any change, there's always new opportunities. And there certainly are a lot of new opportunities right now, but it takes really moving past the fear of maybe never working in that industry before, or having to reframe your work experience around making it align with what you want to do next. And even having the courage to try something new. You know, a lot of times we just don't like trying new things. And so with careers, that's a huge thing. Yes. But more often than not, it's really interesting how so many people have such transferable skills and so many people are so adaptable. But a lot of times it has to do with shifting our beliefs of what we think we're capable of.
Yeah, I love that. Just that shift in what we think our intended career path really should be into, well, let's break the box down, jump out of it, and redesign something that is more in alignment. So yeah, I love that. Well, how right. do you work with people who want to finally find that dream job or that dream career that fully aligns with not only their skill set, but maybe their passion? Can you right. share a little bit about your philosophy or your approach?
Yes, and such a great way of phrasing that, Wendy, that aligns with their skills and their passion. You know, that's something that I love to teach about is like a lot of times we're good at things that we don't really enjoy doing that much. And this is how so many careers get started is you start to have some success in one area. Maybe it starts, you know, like for me of engineering, right?
Yeah.
You know, it started with me being like, oh, I'm pretty good at physics and math. And I kind of like that.
I say Legos.
Right. And Legos, love Tinker Toys. Tinker Toys were my personal thing. Lots and lots of Tinker Toys. I don't know why I never got on the Lego train, but
oh, okay. Well,
I was a big Tinker Toy kid. And just blocks. Like my dad had all these like wood scrap blocks from
their
house and stuff.
And then you're right into that career path. Hey, I could be a great engineer. Yes.
That right.
would be awesome. Yes. Dane. Yes. Do that.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, although I was good at these things, there was something, you know, I love people. I just love being with people, connecting with people, being with people. Yes. And as an engineer, a lot of times, there's a lot of things you can do in engineering that involve people, engineering sales, for instance. But, you know, I realized, I was like, this is not it. This was not the thing. And so I realized that although my skills, I was good at being an engineer, it wasn't what really lit me up. That's what I really teach is how to do the inside out work, where instead of just looking at our external factors of, you know, what we're good at, I really like to take people or to add to that, what we're good at, and then also what we think we should do, right? There's so many beliefs of what we think we should do and what society deems as a respectable career and all these things. There's so many beliefs, you know, that come that just aren't our own. And it's very rare that in the current paradigm, which is something I'm trying to shift, is that it's very rare that young people are led through the inner work of really discovering, you know, who they are and what they want and maybe creating their own life missions, you know, really tapping into their intuition of what they want and who they are and how they want to serve the world. And so a lot of times we just fall into buckets. And, you know, the way that I really like to work with people is first taking a deep dive inside. And, you know, that's the Designer Dream Job Bootcamp is really just taking a deep dive inside to really look at all the different aspects of who you are and really what you want. And so I really, like whenever I'm coaching people, it's really, I call it like the inner work and the outer work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's like 25% like, you know, strategies and the outer work of here's what you can do to be successful. But then 75% of it is so much inner work of reshaping who people think they are and really getting to the truth of people so that they can really light up their souls and really connect with who they are. And so what I've noticed is that a lot of times we assume these roles in life and our career can be a major source of the role we think we're supposed to play. And even though our intuition might be screaming at us that this isn't it, and we go to home, you know, unfulfilled and unhappy, we continue going on like that. And what I realize is that we kind of slowly numb ourselves to who we really are.
Yeah.
And so what I really like to do is just re-enliven people's souls and really connect them to what really lights them up. When, you know, I'm coaching people, it's like watching their faces, when their faces light up, when the smile comes across and their hands start doing things around their head, it's like, that's when you know you got it. Like, that's the thing you got to be doing. The thing that makes your hands fly up and, you know, you're all excited. So yeah, that's really my approach is going like inside out. First, like really getting to the core of who people are and what they want and really just listening deeply for that and noticing when people get lit up. and then seeing how we can really connect that and make that a reality.
Right. Yeah, that is just, I love that, Dane. I mean, it's just, it's brilliant and it's courageous to be serving that ideal client, the client that they're on this beginning of their career path. They've got these limiting beliefs already, but they're about to embark on this conveyor belt, typically, that, yes, like you said, it ends up numbing them. And before they know it, then it's the wedding bills, and then it's the baby rattle and another, you know, little baby along the way. And then it's really hard. Then it takes total wake-up call to shift out, yes, of that path and those huge beliefs and association with that identity. Then it just becomes this monumental task to just reconnect with that dream. So you're catching people, you're serving people at that beginning point. And I just love that. It's so powerful and such needed work. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's really, I love working with people, you know, at the start of their lives, you know, or maybe near the start of their lives, who notice that this isn't the right thing and really want to get on the right path sooner than later.
And maybe they don't know to recognize that within themselves either, you know?
Yes.
You had some clarity that not everybody necessarily wants to acknowledge within themselves, you know? They just kind of, oh, no. Let's get real, right? Yeah. Let's get real.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, do what's actually possible, you know?
Yeah. Stay within our hula hoop, so.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's great. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Yeah, of course. You know, I try and put out as much content as I can weekly. So if you're interested in following me on Instagram, you can follow me at I am Dane Wright. So it's just I am, and then my name, Dane Wright. And so that's my Instagram handle. And then if you're interested in participating in the Design Your Dream Job Bootcamp, you can go there by just going to designyourdreamjobbootcamp.com. Mm-hmm. And that link will go to a website that'll tell you more about that bootcamp and what's available for you.
Okay. Share that URL again, Dane. Design your dream job bootcamp.com. Okay. Perfect. Design your dream job bootcamp.com. Okay. Fantastic.
Correct.
And then on Instagram, they can find you at I am Dane Wright, and that's WRIGHT.
Correct. Yes. DaneWright.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, Dane, you know, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom, and I just love the journey that you've taken us on. But if I could tap on you one last time here during our conversation, if you don't mind, in looking, yes, at your own experience in building your business, you know, what's some advice that you can share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Yes. You know, I think that this really comes back to your why. It's so powerful. I tell a story in one of my programs about two masons, and they're building walls, and they're both on either side of the street, and they're both building these walls, and they're in the hot heat. Except for one mason has a smile on his face while the other one looks miserable. And when I ask the guy who's miserable why he's building a wall, why he's so miserable, he says, well, it's freaking hot out. This sucks. Why am I doing this? And when I walked over to the other mason and asked him, you know, why are you so happy? Why do you have this smirk on your face? Like, you're so lit up and so excited about building this wall in this crazy heat. He looked over at me and he says, well, I'm building a church. And while maybe not all of us are directly building a religious church, we all have some church, and that's really our why. And that's really the thing to discover, because it doesn't really matter if you're building a wall in the hot heat, stone after stone after stone, when you're building a church. And so I think that that's really what I'd call upon. If there's anyone who's kind of lost sight of your why, or what's the purpose of starting your business, or what impact do you really want to create for the world, is really to tap back into that and to read your mission statement every day, so that you really know how you want to serve and why you want to serve.
Right.
And that will be the thing that will drive you forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is powerful. Yep. That's great. And I love the story about the two Masons. And one is clearly keeping the end result or the bigger vision in mind and his purpose. So yeah, that's brilliant.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, Dane, it's been so great hearing about your journey from your early career as a budding engineer to the important work you're now doing, really helping people find work that lights them up and makes them feel fulfilled and pays them what they want. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Awesome, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. And again, for our listeners, you can find Dane through Instagram at I am Dane Wright. And that is Dane, D-A-N-E, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. Or designyourdreamjobbootcamp.com. All right. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning into today's episode with Dane Wright. And as always, here's to your success.